This is According to God's Word, a radio ministry of Reaching Catholics for Christ with T.A. McMahon and produced by the Berean Call. I'm Gary Carmichael. We're glad to have you along. In today's program, we proceed with our discussion of Paul's epistle to the Romans. Along with his co-host Mike Gendron, here's T.A. McMahon.
Welcome to According to God's Word, a program in which we encourage looking to the Bible alone for all of what God says about himself, about us, what he expects of us, and most importantly, what he has done for us that we might spend eternity with him. My out-of-studio partner for today's program is Mike Gendron. Thanks for joining me on today's program, Mike.
Oh, it's good to be back with you, Tom.
Mike, we talked earlier this week and just before we began taping the program. Now, the guys that I sort of partner with on these various programs, Jim McCarthy and Greg Durrell, Mike, your ministry proclaiming the gospel, you're pretty much out on the front lines. You take the gospel and the heart of your ministry is to prepare evangelicals, to encourage evangelicals to witness and to evangelize Roman Catholics. Now, Mike, why do you do that?
Well, Tom, primarily it's to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ and proclaim his sufficiency in matters of salvation, because Roman Catholics worship another Jesus that is insufficient to save them completely and forever. And so we have to equip the saints to reach out to them. Catholics do trust in Jesus. He's just not sufficient. So it's very important that we equip them because, as you know, witnessing is pointing people to Jesus. And Catholics would tell you, we already believe in Jesus. Why don't you go witness to the Muslims or the Buddhists or Hindus? Well, the key for Roman Catholic evangelism, as you know, is to call people to repentance, to forsake everything they're trusting in, whether it be their baptism, their sacraments, their good works, their holy days of obligation or the Mass or purgatory. Forsake all those things and trust Christ alone. And so it's a different kind of witnessing, and it's very important that we train people to do this.
And Mike, my heart is with you in what you do. You're a former Roman Catholic. I'm a former Roman Catholic. In my case, for 30 years. I don't know, how long were you a Roman Catholic?
37 years.
37 years. And in that process, we thought we had a way to heaven. We had, you know, as the church likes to say, we had the richness of all the seven sacraments and so on. But we came to understand that that's not where salvation lies. It's purely in what Christ has accomplished for us on the cross and in nothing else. You know, it's faith in him alone that saves you, and putting your trust in him, because he paid the full penalty for your sins, for my sins, for everyone's sins. And there's no process, there are no rituals, again, the sacraments, none of this can contribute one iota to salvation. In fact, it's a rejection of what Christ did, what he accomplished fully on the cross. So that's what this program is about. If you're a first-time listener, we are former Roman Catholics. We are comparing what Catholics believe, what we grew up understanding and believing and practicing. We compare that with what God's Word says, because it's only in God and in his revelation to us is his salvation. And outside of his salvation, there is no salvation, no matter who pretends or proclaims that they have salvation or they have a way of salvation. If it's not biblical salvation, according to the way God has revealed it in his word, then there's no salvation for a person.
And Tom, I might just add that there really is a fierce battle for the souls of men going on. There's a battle for truth, and the Roman Catholic Church has become very aggressive in also training their people to reach out to the world with their gospel. And we've had two major conferences here in the Dallas area where they attract upwards of 1,500 to 2,000 people. And just recently, when I was in the Louisville, Kentucky area, they had Roman Catholic apologists come out to disrupt the seminars that I was providing to the saints there in Louisville. So they're not only aggressive in proselytizing, but they're also very disruptive in what we're trying to do, and that is to get the truth out.
Now, Mike, when you say disrupt, we have no problem. I mean, they're Catholic apologists. They have a perspective. They have a view. There are forums to present both sides. That's what we would love, to have open discussion about a lot of these issues. But disrupt, what do you mean by disrupt?
Well, as I was giving three different seminars last Saturday, they would have very vocal Catholics. In fact, there was a total of 13 throughout the day that would just blurt out different things like, don't you believe in God, or Jesus is God, why don't you believe that? And just, you know, each time I would say, you know, I'd be glad to handle your questions and any comments you have at the end, but let me get through the formal presentation first. And it was just a matter of minutes later when there'd be more disruption, more outburst, and it's really hard to hold a seminar that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I must say that when we go to their seminars, we, even though we're hearing things that we totally disagree with, we do display the fruit of the Spirit and not the fruit of Rome. And so we sit back and we take it in, and then we engage the speakers afterwards. I just wish that, you know, Roman Catholic apologists would give us the same kind of cooperation.
Mm-hmm. It would seem that if they had a lot of confidence in their apologetics, in their defense of their faith, in the content which they'd bring forth to defend their faith, that there wouldn't be, I mean, it's like if they believe they have the truth, well, the truth's going to rule, you know, will out. It's going to cover any errors out there, and given a reasonable forum, this ought to be their main thrust, wouldn't you think?
Well, Tom, it's interesting you say that, because one of the apologists stood up at the end of my first session and said if anyone in the conference wanted to know the truth about Roman Catholicism, that he would be leaving literature for all of them to pick up. And so I let that go on. I allowed the literature distribution to go on because, as you and I know, once we have been saved by believing the truth of the gospel and been sealed by the Holy Spirit, then we're not going to believe the lie. But consider the contrast of that. If I stood up at a Roman Catholic meeting and said, I've brought all this literature to point Catholics to the sufficiency of Jesus Christ, there's no way that they would allow me to display and to distribute my material. They'd run me out of there.
Mm-hmm.
And so it really is important when we have the truth that we're not afraid of the lie. It's those that are holding people in bondage to the truth with the lies of the devil. They're the ones that are concerned about the distribution of truth.
Yeah. And Mike, we know in the past we're concerned and in effect complaining about Roman Catholic apologists, but we've had problems from evangelicals who, for whatever reason, their ignorance of Roman Catholicism prevailed, and they can give you as hard a time as any Roman Catholic apologist. And that's my concern, because evangelicals, they're supposed to know the Word of God. They're supposed to understand the gospel. And if you understand and believe the gospel, it's very clear that Roman Catholics believe another gospel, a gospel that's different from the biblical gospel. Isn't that right?
Well, and the reason they believe another gospel is because they trust another Jesus. Tom, you and I know that if you trust Jesus as your all-sufficient Savior, that he canceled the sin debt and imputes his righteousness to you, that's all that's necessary for entrance into heaven. But Roman Catholics don't teach that. Therefore, they must have another gospel to instruct Catholics what they must do that Christ was unable to finish.
Mm-hmm.
So another Jesus always produces another gospel. That's why when we witness to Catholics, we need to speak of the sufficiency of Christ and stay focused on his finished work of redemption.
Mike, let's just zero in on that. For example, my concern, not only for Roman Catholics, that they really come to believe the true gospel, but also for evangelicals, and to exhort and to encourage them to do what you're doing, go out and witness, maybe not lead conferences and so on, but, you know, that's the amazing thing about our mindset in this country. It's that if you're going to be a missionary, you've got to go to another country, you know. But all you have to do with regard to neighbors, friends, people at your workplace, especially those who are Roman Catholic, who believe another gospel, a gospel that will not save them, where are they? They could be your next door neighbor. They could be somebody at your workplace and so on. So your ministry, and I want to commend you for this, Mike, and you're taking flack, you're taking heat, you're out on the front lines, but your ministry is to encourage and to train evangelicals to go out and witness to Roman Catholics. I can't think of a more important thing today. And again, you don't have to go to South America or to Spain or to Mexico or, you know, wherever it might be. Roman Catholics are everywhere.
Well, one out of four Americans are Roman Catholics, so they are everywhere. And most of them, as you know, nearly all of them, are believing another gospel. So mm-hmm. we need to get the truth to them before they perish throughout all eternity.
Okay. Mike, before we get into Romans chapter 12, we're going to pick up with verse 19. But before we start that, one distinguishing factor between what Roman Catholics believe and evangelicals, Bible-believing Christians believe or should believe with regard to the gospel is that, you said it before, Christ, through his full payment of our sins, when we put our faith in him, we are declared righteous. Right?
That's a permanent right standing before God. We read in Hebrews 10:14,
right.
By the one offering of Jesus Christ, he has made us perfect forever, those who are being sanctified.
Right.
So, Tom, I think the one most vital difference between evangelicalism and Roman Catholicism is we trust a Savior that was sufficient to save us completely and forever. The key words there, sufficiency, completely, and forever. Roman Catholics have an insufficient Jesus that cannot save them completely. They must do their own works and rely on purgatory. And they have a Jesus that doesn't save them forever because, as you know, if they die in the state of mortal sin after being justified by their sacrament of baptism, then they will perish in hell for
right.
eternity.
So this distinction, Christ, because of what he accomplished for us on the cross, we put our faith and our trust in him, and we are declared righteous. Roman Catholics, on the other hand, believe that their justification is an infused, although they're justified through baptism, as you mentioned, their righteousness, they have to become righteous. So it's an infused righteousness that through their process, they have to become better and better and better. Mortal sins, as you said, they lose their justification. They have to start over. So it's a process. And that's the clear distinction. That is a rejection of what Christ, what the Bible tells us that Christ did. He paid the full penalty for our sins. We only need to put, and the only thing we can do is put our faith and our trust in him, and he saves us. He gives us eternal life. It's a finished work on the basis of what he did. Mike, back to our study of Romans. We are in Romans chapter 12. We're going to pick up with, actually, I like to start with 18. Because it relates to what we've been talking about. It says, if it be possible, as much as lieth with you, live peaceably with all men. And Mike, even though you're out proclaiming the gospel, that's what it's all about, peace. And you have to do it in a way that pleases the Lord, right? And we would expect that of anybody else who claims to be a Christian.
Well, that's so true, Tom. And we have to demonstrate the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And that's to live peacefully with all men and not to be hostile toward people. We surely will not win anyone to Christ by being hostile. And so if these Roman Catholics that stood up in protest and were so disruptive, if they would recognize that all they're doing is reflecting their unregenerate state and seek to have the fruit of the Spirit, then they might live more peacefully with those in opposition to them.
Mm-hmm. You know, again, it says, if possible, and there may be times where confrontation is needed, but look, what we are doing in this program, what Mike does as a ministry, he and Jane, it has to do with offering the gift of eternal life. You can't force, coerce anybody to receive this gift. It's a free gift. People have to be willing. So, Mike, any time that you move into a persuasive or a confrontational thing where you're trying to coerce people to believe what you're teaching, you've just blown it, haven't you?
Well, yeah, that's when the flesh takes over from the Holy Spirit. And any time I think the discussion gets to be heated, I think we need to remind ourselves that it's the work of the Holy Spirit, and maybe it's time to leave a gospel track and to pick up the witnessing opportunity at a later date after the person cools off a little bit.
You're listening to According to God's Word, a radio ministry of Reaching Catholics for Christ. Now, Tom and Mike address questions from listeners in this week's Q&A.
Mike, this listener writes, I believe I heard you refer to something called a holy day of obligation. Not being greatly informed about Roman Catholicism, I was wondering if you would explain that term. Well, for Roman Catholics, there are obligations. In other words, there are certain things they have to believe, certain things that they have to do, and they are obligated to believe these things or do certain things. If they don't, they could commit a mortal sin. And if they do commit a mortal sin, as Mike mentioned earlier, mortal sin sends you right to hell. If you die in that state, you lose sanctifying grace. You're in a state of sinfulness, which will send you right to hell again if you die. So in that state, a holy day of obligation, Sundays, for example, Catholics are required to attend Mass every Sunday, and they're obligated to do that. But there are other solemn days that the Church has added in which the Catholic must attend church. It has to go to Mass. Well, I can give them. In this country, and this is what makes it a little confusing, in this country, there are 6 holy days of obligation. Other countries, as many as 10, but I'll get into that in a little bit after Mike adds some to it. But first would be All Saints' Day, Christmas, Ascension, the Immaculate Conception, the Solemnity of Mary, and the Assumption of Mary. And that comprises 6. Mike, have you got something to add to that?
Well, and I think it's pretty obvious. The first and foremost holy day of obligation is every Sunday, and so Catholics are bound as well to attend on Sundays. But you just mentioned 6, and I hope our listeners made note that 3 of them are devoted to Mary. Mary has a very prominent position, but holy days of obligation, the Catechism says that the faithful are bound to attend. And so once again, we see the legalistic bondage of the Roman Catholic Church. In order to be saved, they must continually participate in the sacrifice of the Mass. They are bound to do so under the penalty of a mortal sin. And along with this commitment to the Mass is an annual commitment to the sacrament of penance and the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist. Catholics are also bound to receive the Eucharist at least once a year and to confess their sins once a year. So, Tom, the Lord Jesus said, "If you abide in my word, it's the mark of being my disciple. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." It's this kind of freedom that Catholics could receive if they looked into God's word, because the word of God brings freedom. There is no obligation for anyone to attend Mass. The Lord Jesus told us to keep the Lord's Day holy, but there's no obligation to participate in a sacrifice of Jesus, a reoffering of him on Sunday Masses or on holy days.
Certainly not for salvation, Mike. We do things to please the Lord. We gather together in his name. We have fellowship and so on. But this is to please him. It's not for salvation, as we mentioned in our earlier segment. Jesus did it all. There's nothing we can do to gain salvation. Mike, I want to go over a few of these things, though. As I mentioned, there are actually 10 holy days of obligation. So if you're in Europe or other places, they would add the Feast of St. Joseph. That would be a holy day of obligation, the Feast of the Saints Peter and Paul. And then it used to be that in this country we went to Mass as Catholics on the Epiphany and Corpus Christi, but those were moved to Sundays. So now that you still attend, but because it's on a Sunday. Now, Mike, what I hope will speak to our listeners out there, again, salvation is a work of Christ. He paid the full penalty for our sins. We put our faith and our trust in him, and we are saved. Now, for a Catholic, Mike, as you mentioned, this is a legalistic system. People are in bondage to this. And it's man's legalistic system. For example, the name of this program is According to God's Word. And we would challenge any of our listeners to search the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation. Try to find holy days of obligation. Try to find where you have missed a day. For example, let's say it's December 8th. Well, what's September 8th? Well, that's the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. If you missed that, if you didn't have your diocesan calendar, which told you exactly when these holy days of obligation are, you've committed a mortal sin. You haven't fulfilled your obligation making Mass on these certain days. Now, Mike, is that legalistic bondage or what?
Well, it definitely is, and I know there may be some people that question whether or not what we're saying is true, and so I'd like to point them to the paragraph numbers in the New Catechism of the Catholic Church. They can read what we've been talking about in paragraphs 2177, 2180, and also 2192. The faithful are bound to participate in the Mass. And the reason for that, Tom, is because Catholics believe that only their past sins have been forgiven, and that's why they have to continually come to the Mass, because it's a representation of Jesus Christ on their altars for the forgiveness of the sins they committed in the past week. And that's why a Catholic never has the assurance of salvation, because each time he commits a sin, he's got to go to Mass for forgiveness.
Mm-hmm. And again, whether you check the reference in the Catholic Catechism or call the local parish priest, find out what the holy days of obligation are, when you have to attend, as I mentioned before, for most people, you need a diocesan calendar which points out when you must attend Mass to fulfill this obligation. You know, again, it's another complex system made up by man which keeps a person in bondage. And my challenge is, search the Scriptures from Genesis to Revelation. If you can find any kinds of obligations with regard to when you must attend a fellowship, or go to Mass, and so on, it's just not there. It's not there. Mike, do you want to pick up?
Sure, Tom, and I just can't, again, stress the importance of why Roman Catholics need the Mass and why they're obligated, why they're bound to continue to receive the graces that come from attending Mass. It's because salvation is dispensed piecemeal through the Catholic Church. You know from the Scriptures, which is our authority, that we receive salvation at the very moment of our faith in Christ. Once we are justified to permanent right standing, nothing can take that away. We have eternal life. But for a Roman Catholic, he's on probation. Once he receives baptism, whether or not he gets to heaven depends on him continuously going to his church for the graces necessary for salvation. So if a Catholic turns away from the church, he's actually being in jeopardy of losing his salvation, because he must keep coming back to be forgiven. He must keep coming back to receive more and more graces for salvation. And so that's why a Catholic is in bondage to his religious system from the time he is baptized until the time he dies. He is just under this constant threat that he must keep coming back to receive salvation. It's not given once and for all.
Right. And he has to come back to an incredibly legalistic system. Mike, I know in shows past we talked about the Code of Canon Law, which there are 1,752 rules and regulations, many which affect a person's salvation in the Catholic Church. And you know, it's not that like they have to know all of these things, but they have to know things that are so important with regard to whether they're going to commit a mortal sin or not. Mike, I can remember a debate with a Catholic apologist in which, you know, a friend of mine asked the Catholic apologist to name the holy days of obligation. And here in this country, as I said, there are six. He could only name one out of six. Now, that's a major item according to the legalistic system. Not knowing the other five, you know, he's going to commit a mortal sin, and his eternal destiny is bound in this legalistic system set up by mankind. It's just not biblical.
They need to hear the truth, Tom.
If you have questions for Tom and his guest to address in a future broadcast, stay with us. In a moment, we'll let you know where to send them. This is According to God's Word, a radio ministry of Reaching Catholics for Christ. We offer a wide variety of teaching materials to help you in your study of God's Word. For more information about Reaching Catholics for Christ, contact us at P.O. Box 7019, Bend, Oregon 97708. Or visit our website at www.reachingcatholics.org. If you would like a copy of this broadcast, ask for program number 3604. And please mention the call letters of this station. I'm Gary Carmichael. Thank you for tuning in. And we hope you can join us again next week for According to God's Word.